Hidden with Christ Ministries presents Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of life. Now here's Rita with today's message.
Hello, friends. This week we are going to study what the Bible says about midnight hours. What's a midnight hour? You may be experiencing one right now. It's a dark moment in life when circumstances are bleak, when the future holds no hope of improvement, and you feel helpless to change any of it. That's a midnight hour. In the Hebrew that's translated to our English word midnight, it also means adversity. So you could say that a person who's in a midnight hour is facing great adversity. Everything looks dark, and there doesn't seem to be any way out of it. Paul the apostle faced many midnight hours, and we're going to take a look at Acts chapter 16 at a midnight hour that Paul faced and how he handled it and how the Lord of the midnight hour came through and gave him victory. In chapter 16 of Acts, starting at verse 16, it says, "And it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a certain slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune-telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, 'These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation.' And she continued doing this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed, and he turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her.' And it came out at that very moment. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, 'These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which it is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans.' And the crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened." Now Paul and Silas were facing a definite midnight hour. They were in a dark circumstance. They had been cast into prison, beaten unmercifully. Their feet were put in stocks, which means they could not move around. Without a doubt, the prison was rat-infested, dank, dark, and full of foul odors. It was a very dark moment in their life. And the future didn't look like it had any hope of improvement. They had been unjustly accused, unjustly imprisoned. Oftentimes, midnight hours in our lives come about through one of two ways. The first, which Paul experienced, is through the actions of other people which negatively impact you. In Paul's case, it was unjust persecution for doing God's will, and then false accusations and slander that landed him in prison unfairly. The second way that we may find ourselves in a midnight hour, a dark moment in life when our circumstances look very bleak, is through our own sin or wrong decisions that we've made in life. You could say that was like a lot of the other prisoners there in that jail who were listening to Paul and Silas as they sang hymns and praised God at midnight. Today I want to talk to you about two common reactions to midnight hours in people's lives. The first one is when you face a midnight hour, your circumstances are extremely difficult, and you begin to entertain the doubts and the lies that the enemy of your soul will, without fail, present to your mind. It's the "why did you allow this, God?" reaction. Anytime we face a difficult circumstance that doesn't look like it'll be alleviated anytime soon, Satan will be right there to suggest to you that this circumstance you're facing means that God does not care about you, that God has abandoned you, that God doesn't love you, or that God is intrinsically not a good God. This thought pattern that will be presented by the enemy of your soul with unceasing intensity is aimed at trying to stumble you into becoming bitter and resentful and mistrusting of God, tempting you to doubt His love and His care for you. And in this heart condition, if you give in to it and begin to entertain such thoughts, there's a viper called self-pity that is waiting to fasten its death grip on you. And if you allow that self-pity to get a hold of you, understand that it will begin to release its poison, and that poison will slowly kill you. There's something that's falsely comforting about the spirit of self-pity, and Satan uses that against Christians when their circumstances are difficult, because he knows that if you allow yourself in that condition, if you respond to adversity with the "why did you allow this, God?" reaction, that response will keep you in prison of your circumstances. In fact, it'll send you into a darker dungeon of despair if you allow it to fester in your heart unabated and unchecked. In the early 1800s, there was a woman who found herself in this very condition. She had had some medical problems that had been unrelenting. Her medical condition had left her limited in her activities, and it had gone on for many years. She had become bitter, angry, and resentful towards God. She had this "why did you allow this, God?" attitude about her circumstance. Though her family had tried to minister love and encouragement and speak that God is a God who will help her, she would have none of it. One day, a minister was invited to dinner in their home, and asking her some questions at the dinner table, she exploded in an angry torrent of words that embarrassed the family, and most of them left the table. Sitting there alone with the visiting minister, he finally said to her, "Aren't you tired of yourself? Aren't you tired of living this way?" And she snapped back at him, "What's your cure?" And he began to say, "The very faith that you have rejected." After ministering for some time to this woman, she finally broke as he spoke of God's love for her, countering the lie that she had believed that God did not care, and that this medical condition that she was enduring was a direct positive proof of His lack of care and love. She broke under His words of grace and received Jesus Christ into her heart as Lord and Savior. Her attitude changed dramatically, and she later penned the famous hymn, "Just As I Am, Without One Plea." That hymn, which has been used for decades upon decades as an invitation to sinners to come to the Savior, came only when this woman chose to believe the truth about God, even though she was in a midnight hour. Do you realize that Paul and Silas, had they not had that abiding trust in God and faith in God, that God was good and that He would deal with it, and that He was bigger than circumstances, and that He was able to turn what looked like hopeless conditions completely around, Had they not had that abiding trust in their heart, they never would have been able to sing at midnight. Bitterness and resentment toward God will steal your song. You'll not be able to sing in your midnight hour. And yet it was that very trusting response to God that God responded to in their midnight hour. His response was a dramatic one. The scriptures tell us, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were unfastened. He responds to the trusting heart. That's all the time we have for today. Join me tomorrow as we continue to study this subject of the Lord of the Midnight Hour. Hi, thanks for listening today. I would like to invite you to prayerfully consider becoming a partner with Hidden with Christ Ministries. We call our partners supply keepers. In the Old Testament, the supply keeper was the one that maintained and distributed the material supplies needed by the soldiers who were going out to the front lines of battle. Our supply keepers help us broadcast the gospel around the world. We are currently broadcasting our program in Russia, in Europe, in North Africa, in the South Pacific, and Australia, and we are longing to expand into the Middle East and to all of Asia. Call us at 1-866-HE-HEALS or email us through our website and let us know that you'd like to become a supply keeper, helping to disciple the nations before the return of our Lord.
Join us again weekdays at this same time for more practical truths from the Word of God on Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. To receive a free teaching tape, please check out our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Again, that's www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Or you can write us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267. Again, that's P.O. Box 3267 in Tustin, California, 92781, USA. In the United States, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, that number is 1-866-HE-HEALS. We look forward to hearing from you.